Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Right now. Oh, we were shaking the Monday morning blues together. Yes, along with the Due Time crew. And yesterday's conversation. Dating in a godly manner. Yes. Oh, we had a long talk yesterday. We had some crazy news. We talked about relationship news. Yes, we had news just based on relationships. And the first news was the boxer who is being accused and has been charged with killing his girlfriend, 27 years old, injecting her with some foreign object that kills her. Then he ties something to her body, throws her into the water, and he's being charged with kidnapping that resulted in death and some carjacking that resulted in death, all because he did not want her to have the baby. Yes. Oh, we moved on over to the groom-to-be, who his responsibility for the wedding plans was to pay the musician. Now, we don't know how much more he was responsible for taking care of, but we know he was responsible for taking care of the musician bill. And instead of him paying with money, he paid with the bridesmaids. I'm not going any further because if you want to know, you're going to have to go back and listen. And lastly, on our relationship news, my goodness, we had the elderly couple who had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia and broke out of the assisted living facility by using Morse code. How you like God now? The only one who could work that brain after decades of being out of the army, but old Pop was able to figure out the key code. And they got busted up out of the joint. Yes. So we had a long conversation, yes, about all three of those. So I had to, you know, do a recap because we kind of slid in dating in a godly way. Okay. And one of the things that we discussed was that even in the dating process, you should still rely on God and each other when times are difficult. Yes, that can be something that you implement, you know, when after you get married. No. Listen, you have to start the marriage process. You know, some of the things have to get started prior to saying, I do. And that's one of the things, okay? All right, and we talked about, don't just set yourself up for situations that might cause, the two of you to sin, such as being alone. You know what that does. You know what that leads to. Yes. So, you know, what else did we talk about? Oh, spend time with other godly couples. And Pastor KL threw in the little extra. Some older godly couples, people who have been married for quite a bit longer than you have. You know, we love the newlyweds. However, they're not going to be able to teach us much. Come on, you have to agree with that one, right? Yeah. Because they're still stumbling and bumbling around themselves. Yeah, they're going to be able to give you a couple of words, but you don't want a couple of words. You don't want a little advice. You want a whole lot of advice to make sure you don't do this thing wrong. Okay? So it would not be a Monday if we did not finish up with the switch tip by Shantice. Show faith in his rules. That was the roundup for 52 weeks of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. This is the final week in our first year. And Show Faith in His Rules was a nice wrap-up as it culminated all the switch tips that we've ever had. Yes, because remember, the switch tip is making the change, the switch, from the streets to our godly seat. So that means that each week we got another rule that we should follow in order to walk with Christ. Yes, that's different. Yes, it's different than what the people in the street would do. Okay, so if you go back and pull up any 5 switch tips, they will all be under the premise of showing faith in his rules. You know, it's not easy to do the things that God wants you to do in a world that is definitely not interested in God. Come on, you got to admit. You know, the enemy is the prince of this world. That's what the Bible tells us. The enemy is the prince of this world, which is why we are having such a difficult time with, being surrounded by other godly people. You really got to seek these people out, because even some of the people who call themselves godly, I got to tell you, makes you wonder. You really got to dig and dig deep, because we're not perfect. And, you know, it's sometimes, you know, hard to shield some of your struggles. And people don't look at it as a struggle. Once you do something in their presence or say something in their presence, man, oh, man, oh, man, they are all twisted. You ain't Christian. You ain't never been Christian. You can't set an example. Oh, you know how it goes down. You know how it goes down. So, you know, yesterday's switch tip really, really, really reminds us to put God first. Show faith in his rules. No matter how hard this journey may be, no matter how hard, you know, it may be to kind of settle in to his will and or his way. Showing faith in them rules, you still got to come out on top and get that job done. Yes. How are we going to disciple if we don't show faith in his rules? Yeah. You know, sometimes life gets really hard. Life itself is really hard. No matter how Christian you may be, no matter how faithful you may be, you know, or faith-driven, I should say, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you attend worship service, it can get quite tough. And the enemy wants you to sidestep on the things of God. Yes, wants you to sidestep. And you're going to have to step out on faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets challenging. So when you step out on faith on God's rules, when you show faith in God's rules, then he's going to push you over that next, you know, over that line. You're going to need that little nudge, and then you're going to need that little nudge. You know, you're not going to soar across anything. Trust me when I tell you. So showing faith in his rules is really going to be the key to getting the job done. Okay? Okay. So that's how we ended yesterday. Oh, shaking that Monday morning blues. Okay? Now, today is let's talk about it, Tuesday Church Folk Day. Okay? You know how it goes down over here on Tuesday. Yeah, we talk about you. Talk about you. We talk about us. We talk about everybody. Okay? So just get ready. Just get ready. Looks like we're missing our Pastor Ed again today as he takes care of his little tyke. But there's always a ram in the bush. We have our Pastor Charlene, who's hanging on by thread, but she's going to step out on faith, and you know how we do. Yeah, she starts that coughing, we getting rid of that mic. Yes, because we don't want her to damage anything. So, you know, we're going to get this job done. We're going to get this job done. There's always, you know, God's always got a plan in place for when things don't, you know, walk the way we want it to walk, okay? So, let me give you this number. 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. And we're gonna have an interesting set of news today, which is gonna launch us into our conversation. And we want to make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. You tell a friend that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and you're listening, and so should they be. Okay? Yeah, make sure you call them and see where they are, so we can definitely include them today. Okay? So if you want to talk, make sure you call that number. If you want to text, let me give you that number, 347-285-7777. Again, the number is 347-285-7777. Okay? We'll be right back.
When someone you love is diagnosed with an incurable disease, the most important thing is making the most of the time they have left. Nearly 1 million people in the USA are living with the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. For a small percentage of those with Parkinson's, their disease progresses more quickly, and their main Parkinson's drugs don't work effectively. Multiple system atrophy, or MSA, is a disease that is often misdiagnosed as Parkinson's. Many of the symptoms are the same, but MSA progresses much more quickly and also has other symptoms like very low blood pressure, speech that is slurred and or low in volume, fatigue, muscle weakness, and more. Learn more about the differences between Parkinson's disease and multiple system atrophy.
Good morning to you. Oh, welcome to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And you have joined us for Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes. Oh, we have a good time having our church conversation. And we're happy to have you today. Thank you for joining us. And got a set of interesting news stories today. It's kind of weird. I'm in between thoughts. And overnight, this the story or the topic came to mind. And I don't know. I don't know how far we're going with this, but let's get started. All right. Well, we're starting off with a Texas pastor who was murdered when he ran into a man in the church bathroom who was fleeing the cops. Yes. Okay. 62-year-old Mark McWilliams was fatally shot after he ran into 21-year-old Mitrez Deontay Woolen, and he was hiding from the authorities in the bathroom of the church. And he had been running from the cops from the night before. And the pastor pulled out his shotgun and, I'm sorry. Mitrez, he pulled out a shotgun and they were chasing him, and they had all kind of canines and drones. And he managed to get into the church's bathroom, and he was hiding out. Okay. And the pastor ended up finding him in the bathroom the next morning. And the pastor drew his gun and, you know, told him to get down on the ground. And something distracted him, and somehow, you know, when you always see that in the movies, right? They pull out the gun, and then when they pull out the gun, then something goes boom, and then they turn. Yeah, well, unfortunately, the pastor was distracted and was killed by the person who the cops were looking for, and lost his life. Okay. So that's our first story. Well, a homeboy went down for $3.5 million in bail. So listen, with the name, let me get that name together for you. Mitrez Deontay Woolen, who was 21 years old, you know good and all get out that he surely And none of his people had $3.5 million to bail him out. Oh, yeah. Yep. Moving on to our next news story. We're talking about the overnight manhunt that ended in a deadly encounter for another local pastor in Texas. And again, even though that pastor was armed, didn't work out well, because the person who he ran up into was also armed, and the pastor was the one who was murdered. Okay, and you know, it's just, this is just seems to be the thing out here when the pastors also have guns. You know, remember Texas? Remember that that conversation we had? That wasn't that a church folk conversation? Yes, it surely was the church folk conversation where Pastor Ed said that he, you know, out in Texas, they're allowed to carry guns, and they do so in church. Okay. Well, we have another story of a man who was arrested because he slayed a pastor. Another killing, this time in the state of Alabama. And 25-year-old Shannon Xavier Pearson he was charged with the killing of the local pastor there, who was 57, and who also wounded the pastor's wife, and she was left in serious condition. Well, later on they found out that an 18-year-old Melissa Hill, she surrendered to the sheriff's office, and she was charged with murder and attempted murder with a cash bond of more than $1 million as well. Okay? And, you know, so you're probably trying to figure out, okay, Pastor Steph, what's going on and why you keep talking about all these pastors who were murdered? Well, not only that they were murdered, but people knew who they were. Even if they ran up on them at the last minute or whatever, they knew who these people were. They knew that they were pastors. And in the past, we've spoken about, you know, us not having the proper respect for our pastors. And I think the last conversation we had, Minister AJ spoke about, you know, who and what gives you the right to chastise or discipline or criticize your pastor. And, you know, it started me to thinking as I was reading these articles, you know, just let's talk about it Tuesday. So come on, let's talk about it. You know how we don't do the right thing by the pastors. And, you know, think about it. You know, one of the pastors, he had been the pastor in that church. I just passed it. For quite a few years, they said. 15 years. For nearly 15 years, there was another pastor in Texas who had been the pastor for over 25 years. And the other pastor had been a pastor there for quite some time as well. And, you know, now the people are missing them. You know, the articles talk about how you know, a couple of the articles at least talked about how, you know, you're missing your pastor. You're missing your pastor now. Oh, you know, if your heart is heavy, you feel so bad. So, you know, I wonder, and I'm like, okay, so is it when they were killed that you actually began to miss your pastor? You know, did you take them for granted, you know, all the other time? Did you give them a hard time? Did you do what Minister AJ said, you know, and you know, telling the pastor what to do? And, you know, how were you treating your pastor? How were you honoring your pastor? You know, we have been, you know, told and given that we should be more respectful. You know, these individuals have charge over our lives, and, you know, think about how other people might be treating them. And you look at these men, two of these pastors were killed right on the church's property. Yeah, right? And one was killed in front of the church, and another one was killed in the church's bathroom. They all brandished guns with the intent of protecting the church. So not only are they covering the church itself, the church body in prayer, and they're teaching and they're ministering and they're counseling and they're doing all of this stuff. And then you have, then you have the other, you know, the other side of them that physically, actually, you know, goes out and gets a gun, you know, for the times when they have to potentially take care of the church in that manner. So can you imagine at the end of the day, now you've lost your life for protecting the church, and to think that there were people possibly in the church body, who was cutting up, doing what they wanted to do, giving hell, being disrespectful. And, you know, I started thinking about that, and I'm like, wow. You know, they don't know anything now because they did, but their family knows. Their wives know, you know, how they have labored in love, not perfection, but in love, over the church. And at the end of the day, it cost them their lives. So, you know, this was going through my head, and I'm like, wow. You know, look at how you're called to do something that is not for even your immediate family. It's one thing if someone, you know, stepped up on their personal property in their house or in their apartment or something like that, and, you know, they took out the gun to protect their family. But this was for the church. And it's one thing when your family doesn't appreciate you and they don't honor you. It's another thing when the church doesn't. So I'm hoping today's conversation, you know, might make you rethink, you know, your treatment or the appreciation for your pastor. And, you know, we don't have much of Pastor Charlene's voice today, but I'm sure if we did, we'd hear the mother crazy church folk encounters that she either heard about or she's experienced, you know, with you, those of you who go to church. So, you know, do we see the mistreatment of God's leaders and we turn our backs and we say nothing? Or do we encourage others to do right, be better, encourage them to be more respectful? You know, do you do anything to honor your pastor? You know, or again, the people in your church. Now, we're not talking about Mother's Day or Father's Day. We're not talking about that day. you know, because I do know that there were times when, you know, you wait till those days to do that. But in your own way or at, on another day, you know, do you get that done? Do you get that done? Okay. So we're going to talk today about ways, just in case, you know, you can't think of any on your own. Some ways to love and honor your pastor. And we have our wonderful panel here today. And we're going to get some of their thoughts and, you know, see what they think. Okay? So I want to, you know, make sure I read this to you for those of you who don't know. But it says, now we ask you, brothers, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you. And that's taken from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. All righty. So let's say good morning. You know, so like I said, it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday. So get my little chat on. So let's say good morning really quickly to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. Missed you yesterday. And I'm going to give you a quick moment if you, you know, if you can, on any comment on just keeping your comment on the stories. The news stories this morning.
Yes, I missed y'all too. I only apologize at the beginning of my coughing as well. Yes, this is something that, you know, the pastors, that the pastors that got killed, you know, of people running in the church. And I have seen that people have come into the church and go, you know, not come into the service, but go down to the bathroom and stuff, and they hide out in there and in the kitchen. So I do know that in these days that we really need to have someone, you know, at the door, you know, because of what's going on. My thought was, how did the one get in and be able to spend the night, you know, and nobody checked, you know, the church, you know, to go in each place, you know, to check to make sure that nobody is in there, because I know we have a lot of homeless people that try to come in. So, you know, for the, usually we try to get, you know, the men to come together to check the building, you know, and it's so sad that he came in and you do get distracted. You know, you do hear a noise, just like when you're saying about the movie. You know, and where that he probably thought that someone else was in there too, you know, so he probably, that's when he turned, like, you know, to see who was behind him. But I think that since they did it that way, they shouldn't even got there. They should have just, you know, totally, just got life. Period.
Okay, okay. All right, we're going to stop you right there. We're going to stop you right there. Okay, thank you for getting us jump-started today. And we're going to pray, or continue to pray over that voice and that throat and that coughing. So thank you so much for pressing your way through today. Let's say good morning to our Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning. Oh, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our fathers in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You're a handful. You're a handful. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing quite fine. And how are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you. I'm well. So, you know,
You're
our
welcome.
News was filled with stories about the murders of pastors right on the church premises, a couple of them. And what's your thought?
My thought is, I think, well, let me just go ahead. Because we've lost respect for the church, meaning the believers, we don't respect it as much. The outsiders definitely don't respect the church anymore. I remember a time where they wouldn't even draw graffiti on the church. Like, they respected the church. They'll draw it everywhere else. But now, they'll tamper even with church property. A lot of times we're so busy pointing at the pastors and, you know, pointing the fingers, and if they do something or say something that we don't like, you know, instead of praying for them, you know, covering them, you know, praying for our world and our nation. And I believe that we can turn stuff around if we just get back to praying. You know, if we pray, you know, and turn from our wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven and heal the land. And I think the land is going crazy because we got our guards down. We pray when something happens, but are we praying consistently?
All right. I like that. You and Pastor Charlene got this started off on a nice, good note. And I knew we would have one down, but possibly two down. And I asked our buddy, Pastor Dominguez Battle, to join us this morning, and he so graciously accepted. So let's say good morning to Pastor D. Good morning, Pastor D.
Hey, everybody. How we doing today?
Well, thank you.
Doing great.
Well, thank you. Well, so happy to have you on with us today. And thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about today, you know, the pastors who were killed right on the premises, two of them armed with their own guns. And unfortunately, that didn't seem to matter at all. And they lost their lives. What's your thought?
We're living in a time where a gangster or a dope dealer gets more respect than a man of God, a man or woman of God. We're living in a time where someone who is involved in any explicit type of lifestyle, relationship, or whatever are called heroes. Well, this is not surprising. Where we have, as ministers, have to actually protect our church home just as much as we have to protect our own homes. We have to still be vigilant in that area. Minister AJ, he said something. He said that it starts with us. The world has lost respect for the church because the people of God have not been vigilant. They haven't been praying, and they haven't. They, in a lot of ways, they've lost respect for the church as an institution. Period. It's up to us to start setting the tone again as men and women of God, period. Not even in leadership, but being believers. We have to start praying. We have to start being vigilant in that area. We have to make sure that we cover our pastors, not just our pastors, but all our leadership, period.
All right. You all brought up some really good points about how we treat the church, how we have lost respect for the pastors and the church. You know, Minister AJ, you talked about how, you know, there was no graffiti years ago. I remember you used to see people go by the church and they'd start making a cross, you know, on their body. You'll see like a wino, well, we used to call a wino, or someone who was drinking, you know, they go past the church, they tip their hat. You know, it was just, regardless of what you did, you know, even if you weren't actively going to church, you still maintained that level of respect. So before we get into some other things, let's talk about why. Why do we think, outside of loss of prayer, because we know that ultimately, you know, that will definitely hinder anything from going forward. But what do you think is the breakdown? Let's talk about that. And Minister AJ, let's start with you. What do you think is the breakdown?
I believe the breakdown starts with how we treat one another. You know, the first good snapshot to an outsider is how we treat one another. If you've got the unsaved loved ones at home, and now you've been in church all day and you coming home and you have nothing but stories, and the stories don't sound pleasant, what's going to begin to happen? That chain of respect is going to begin to break down. You know, you coming home, you've been in church all day, you go to church every Sunday, but you always come home with a story. Instead of protecting the church, you know, you're trying to expose the church. And therefore, once outsiders hear it, how much respect are they going to have for the church? You know, we've got to be, go back to treating one another with another level of respect and love, and then teaching others how to respect and love. And I think we'll get back to, you know, restoring the respect.
Okay. You know, okay, so this board is already going wacky, but I'm just going to give God thanks that I am not cut off yet. But the music side has its own mind, so I just want you to talk up a little bit over, you know, our accompaniment today. I apologize for the inconvenience. But Pastor D, I like what you said, Minister AJ. Pastor D, what do you think the breakdown is? Where do you think that comes from?
To be honest with you, I can't call it. It just seems like it's a testament of the times, to be honest with you. I've spoken about this a million of times where it seems like, and I have to question it myself, it just seems like these days are spiritually getting darker. People's hearts are getting colder. People don't love the way they should love nowadays, it seems like. And that includes even in the church. We forgot what love, unconditional love, is. One of the greatest commandments that we have is we're supposed to love one another, and we don't do that. We don't even know how to show one another show love to one another, even ourselves. So I think if there really is an answer to that, the breakdown in that is true, like Minister AJ said, is knowing how to love, knowing what real love truly is.
Okay.
You know,
that's
it to me.
Okay. Let me give Pastor Charlene an opportunity if she wants to. Just say if you can't. If so, you just start talking. Where do you think the breakdown comes from? Where's that?
Well, if we go back into not just prayer, you know, but back in the day, they used to do the shut-ins a lot, and where that people just came in and prayed to one another and love upon one another. I think that just like both of them have said, you know, it's the love that everybody wants to do what they want to do, and if you don't do what I tell you to do, because we break up into the group. And by us breaking up into the groups, where the division within the church, so everybody wants to be able to have their own mind, and where that they don't come together as what God is telling us to do, you know, and they come into the church and not only just talking, you know, instead of praying. So if they come together more so, you know, and be on one accord, then they'll be able to they'd be able to do better. So that's where it is. There's so much worldly coming in instead of what God wants us to do.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. Well, you know me, and I always got a list, and I'm going to, you know, throw out some stuff that, you know, some people said the breakdown comes from. So, Pastor D, you said you have a press time thinking. I'm going to give you some so you can start thinking on these things, okay? Let's see. I like these. These are good. Well, let us start with you, Minister AJ. They talk about the silent and fearful majority. Oh. Come on and tell me that that's not the truth, Minister AJ. The silent and fearful majority. That's one of the breakdowns in the church.
True. It's true. It's true. It's mm-hmm. true. And that's why you have cliques in the church, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people are afraid to even get together and challenge one clique, so then we form another clique, and then they form another clique because they, you know, nobody's willing to stand up, you know, for the true purpose of God. You know what? Let's pray about this. You know, if they're talking about the past, everybody jumps on a bandwagon. Who stops and says, let's pray, you know? And we see the breakdown when somebody falls in the church. When somebody falls in the church, mm-hmm. you know, is the majority spiritual? And so while you're, if a person falls and then everybody is talking about this person, really what you did was you exposed yourself because you're supposed to be the spiritual mm-hmm. one who's supposed to restore your brother. But again, mm-hmm. that, you know, everybody jumps on a bandwagon. And even if the pastor says something that is totally crazy, and I'm not saying you embarrass him, but, you know, you go to the Word of God, and if you got to pull him to the side, be like, listen, I was a little confused about that. You know, could you explain? But, you know, again, we form that big clique, we start talking, and nobody is, and we don't even challenge each other in the church. We see that somebody's doing something wrong, and we don't pull them to the side and say, listen, you know, you could do better with that, or why is it that you're doing so? Why are you falling, you know, and bumping your head every year? Because we're fearful. You know, we don't challenge anymore. We don't hold each other to accountability anymore.
Nice start. Come on, Pastor D. They say the silent and fearful majority is helping to create that breakdown in the church.
I absolutely agree. There are so many people out here, they are afraid of being judged. Bottom line, they're afraid of being judged or not included because of, you know, how they feel, you know, because of their thoughts on a certain situation. They don't want a lot of people, they go to church just so they can be included. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to challenging certain situations, they know that if they say something or if they try to make any type of complaint or anything like that, that they might just be shunned. You know, a lot of people in the church are suffering from, I forget what the term is, but they are afraid of confrontation because they don't want to be shunned. They don't want to be shunned or judged by anybody. That's why nowadays a lot of people can get away with a sinful lifestyle and things of that nature, and nobody says anything, or nobody does anything, or nobody challenges them in any way, shape, fashion, or form because they don't want to be judged for it. They don't want to go the extra mile. They're scared of being persecuted in any way, shape, fashion, or form. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Pastor Sharlin, they're talking about the silent and fearful majority. Not enough people are talking and speaking up. Okay. All right, I think I lost Pastor Sharlin. Oh, no, I didn't. She's here. Okay, so I guess she's on that moment. Okay, well, let's talk about another one. Come on, Minister AJ. Those power groups. Oh, they got some good ones on this list, y'all. They got some good ones on this list. The power groups, Minister AJ.
We have the power groups. The power, but powerless. you know, they sit in the pews and become pastors and form their own church. And it seems like they have more power than the pastor, you know. But when it gets down to the real good nitty-gritty of the power, they don't have no power, you know. They got to call a pastor or somebody to pray for them. They can't get a prayer through. They can't get a word across, you know. But in the church, it looked like they got all the power. The minute service is over, they got their group to the side talking about what happened, talking about what they didn't like. And not only that, they're influencing others who come in, who might have a pure heart for God and want God, but you got the power crew. You know, come on over here, link up with us, and you see what he's doing ain't right. And, you know, but then again, when it's time, when they kid is sick now everybody got to pray for them. You know what I mean? They got to call for everybody. You know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You calling for somebody to pray for you because you can't get a prayer through. So power, but powerless.
Oh, go ahead with your smoking gun this morning. Wow. Come on, Pastor D. We're talking about those power groups are aiding in the, the breakdown of the church.
Oh, yeah. you know what? I've always been an outsider, so I'm kind of familiar with those power groups, even in the church. They do more damage. You get more damage from the inside than you do from the outside when it comes to a certain entity. That's why as leaders, when you start seeing these types of cliques pop up, it might be a good idea to kind of get into the middle of those and kind of break those up a little bit in one way, shape, fashion, or form or another, or keep an eye on. Just keep praying on and make sure that you're covering those situations, because there's nothing more damaging than a punch you don't see. And that's where that punch that you don't see is going to come from. Those particular power groups, like Mr. AJ said, they tend to be the church within the church, you know, the clique, and he said that the power group, the power with no power, they really don't. Them the first thing they want to be at the pulpit, at the podium, sitting up to the top, I'll pray for me. Pastor, can you pray for me? My son is doing this. My daughter's doing this. You see what I'm saying? They are that group, and they will start bringing in other people. They tend to fester. They grow like that serpent with many heads, you know, and they start growing and start planting other seeds of dissension and doubt and all this good stuff within your church. And you wondering why things is going so crazy within the house is because those power groups have been sitting up here talking and doing some seedy stuff in the background. So absolutely. We have to learn to make sure that we keep those situations in check.
All right. Okay, Pastor D and Minister AJ. Minister AJ and Pastor D, it's on you today. Pastor Charlene, it's overwhelming for her to talk. That cough is knocking her talking ability out. So it's just the three of us today. And I got to say it's just the two of you because, you know, I don't like to be the third leg. So, but, man, I got some stuff here. We keep this going, okay? They say failure to be evangelistic, okay? And there's not a whole lot of evangelizing going on up in there, Minister AJ. What's going on? The breakdown. This is why we got the breakdown.
The breakdown is we only want to do it within the four walls, and
ooh,
we're half doing it within the four
in
walls.
The four
we're
walls.
Not even doing
Whoa.
It correctly within the four walls.
That's good.
And so, therefore, we never make it to being a church without walls because we can't get it right inside the four walls. You know, and I'm being honest. You know, you have the preacher who's preaching. He preached. We shout and we dancing. We gladly receive the word, but because we don't allow it to take root, one planteth, one watereth, and God gives the increase. How you water the word is you go back, if you take the notes, and you start reciting what the pastor said over and over. So that way you can get it and it's embedded because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But what happens is because we don't recite what the pastor has said or we haven't taken notes, we shout over it and we're glad about it by the next Friday. We don't even have enough within ourselves to fight when the time of testing comes. Well, you know what? Call a pastor. Remember what you said, pastor, on April 12th? No, you're supposed to get it and have it embedded in you. That word has a hit in my heart that I might not sin against you. You've got to have something in on your ground to fight. And if you don't have nothing to fight, guess what? You're walking dead. And not only that, we don't educate within. You know, one person walking around with all the knowledge and nobody is saying, you know what, let's have a little, you know what, did you understand what the pastor said? Or we don't even feed each other in the church. One person got all the knowledge and everybody else is walking around, you know.
Wow.
You know, ignorant. Mm. Ignorant, if you say.
Oh, come on, Pastor D. There's no evangelizing going on. Lack of evangelistic efforts. That's what the breakdown is.
I don't know if anybody remembers, but there was a time when it wasn't just Jehovah's Witness going around on certain days knocking on your door talking about, do you know God? There was a time when believers actually got out there and we actually would go door to door, hey, let me tell you about the good news of the cross. Let me tell you about the gospel. Let me tell you about Jesus, what he can do for you, you know. I think the church itself has started getting away from evangelizing. Everybody wants to be an apostle nowadays, it seems like. Everybody wants to be the prophet or something like that. Everybody wants to chase the title instead of chasing the soul. We've got away from chasing the soul. That's where it came from. Everybody is that it starts with the church. It starts with us as believers. You know, like you said, everybody don't want to get past them four walls. That's why I'm so glad that COVID hit because it brought us back to a certain place where it taught you that we are the church. We are the church, not the building. We are the church. The people are the church. Iron sharpens iron. So when we get together, that's why you're not supposed to forsake the assembly. Because we are the church. And we've gotten away from that as a church as a whole. We don't really, and it goes all the way, it goes back to loving one another, man. It takes, when I was sitting up here and I was drunk and acting a fool and this, that, and the other, and I was in these streets, it took a brother to come out there and say, hey, bro, come on, man, you know. And he came out there and he loved on me. But I was still checked at the same time. So it wasn't like that. And, you know, I'm a man's man. So if you checking me, I'm like, hold on, bro, who you talking to? It wasn't that kind of situation. It was, come on, bro, listen, man, let me talk to you for a minute. Let me love on you for a minute. Let me, you know what you're doing. Don't look good. It's not good for you. And I mean, my brother really came out there and they embraced me. When I'm sitting up here and I'm ministering to certain people of the gay community and things of that nature, they say the things that help them the most in their lifestyles is the fact that people are not coming at them waving their finger at them, but it's actually they're not condoning their lifestyle, but they're loving them through it. They're actually, I mean, that's where the real evangelism comes from. That's why I appreciate Billy Graham so much, because he really knew how to evangelize. He knew how to get out here amongst the people. That's what Jesus did. He got out there amongst the people. He was in the middle of it all. The church itself has gotten away, period, from it. And I don't understand. I personally don't understand why, but absolutely. I believe that is a, a, another symptom of what's going on today.
All right. All right. Okay, come on, you two. They talk about the fear of losing membership. Oh, they don't want to say people's go nowhere. Come on, Minister AJ.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, they definitely fear losing membership. You know, somebody, even if somebody goes to get married, now you done made them a deacon. You done made them a minister, and you know good and well. You know, that according to the Bible, it ain't lining up. He a deacon. He's not asked to teach. You know, he ain't in the word nowhere. He ain't here telling these war stories. Come on. Let's stop pushing people into a position just so that we can have the numbers. Because what's going to happen? The pastor goes down now, and now they got to really teach or preach. And now everybody lost, trying to figure out why they up there. That's the real mystery of the church. How did they get up there? And see, what you got to understand, too, and as leaders, we have to understand that the posture will work when the position won't. And you've got to have something yourself as a believer. The title should actually follow your name, Paul an apostle. Not, you get what I'm saying to you? But we pushing people into positions, and they don't even have the character to fulfill a position or even knowledge, period. So, you know, let's stay in the posture and let God fill the church the way he wants to and put people in position the way he wants. Because that posture of prayer will always work. Them positions, they fade and go.
I love it. Come on, Pastor D. You know, they're fearful of losing the people in the church.
All right, so it to me, over the years, it seems like people tend to, and I'm talking about pastors, ministers, people who are in leadership, they start to approach the ministry like it's another job or their profession instead of approaching it as it really is. This is the gospel. This is your ministry. This is something that this is your lifestyle. This ain't just another job for you. You know, this is not just something that you, okay, so you, of course you probably went to college board and all that good stuff, and that's how they approach it. You know, like another doctor or another lawyer or something like that. You know, they're not approaching it from the ministerial point of view. You know, this is more than just a profession. This is the Holy Spirit supposed to be working in you. This is more than flesh. The carnality of the church is a serious thing. And that's what it is. We are facing with true carnality within the church. And this is the result of it.
Ooh, wow. You two are bringing up some really good stuff. All right, they got another one. Another one I love. Oh, they're saying that the church is being known more for what they're against more than what they are for. And I think, Pastor D, you touched on it a minute ago. What would you say, Pastor Minister AJ, on that one?
That we're being, no, that's true. We're quick to attack people. We're quick to attack people for coming into church. And the way I'm getting it is sometimes it's because we're lacking in certain areas. We lack the anointing. What happened to being so anointed that you can preach a sermon and that somebody hears the word of faith preached and they say, what must I do to be saved? You know, but we're lacking the anointing in the church. We're lacking the spirit in the church. We're lacking direction in the church. And therefore, we have to make up for it somewhere. And to make sometimes to make ourselves feel better, we go attacking. Because that's not really, you know, Jesus, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So, but we're so quick to attack stuff in the church because we don't know how to navigate a person through what they're going through. We don't know how to direct. And it's because we haven't heard from God during the week. Think about it. What we give the people should be a overflow of the exchange between us and God during the week. The problem is we spending so much time on the people and we giving God the leftovers.
Oh,
So by time we get to exchange it with the people, we have nothing to give them because we have not exchanged between us and God during the week.
Wow. Come on, Pastor D. Expand on that. We're known more for what we're against than the church, you know, showing us what they're for.
I think that all goes back to knowing not just love, but knowing how to love, you know. That's one of the things we need to learn as God's people. You know, we don't know how to love. There is more than just telling people what they're doing wrong. Show them how to get out. I knew when I was out there doing wrong, I knew I was doing wrong. I didn't need you to tell me, okay, what you're doing is wrong. What I need you to tell me is how to stop doing what I was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. What I need you to do is show me how to get out of this hole that I'm in, or how to get out of my lifestyle, or how to stop thinking the way I was thinking, or how to stop to really trust God. And how we don't know, we're not training up the child in the way that they should go. That way it would not depart from them. We're not doing that anymore. We're not equipping the saints anymore. We're not doing that anymore. We're too busy sitting up here pointing our fingers. And like Minister AJ said, what it's doing is it's showing us who we are. It's showing our own weaknesses, where the things that we're struggling in and the areas that we're really struggling in. You know, we're a lot of ministers are found wanting nowadays for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're not they themselves need to go through some deliverance. They themselves have to go through get some hands laid on them. They themselves have to get before the Lord. Once again, the carnality in the church is at an all-time high, and that's one of the reasons why.
Wow, okay,
love
covers
a multitude of things.
All right. I'm loving this stuff. I hope you all are taking notes. I keep telling you, come with a pen and a paper, because you just may have to take some notes. And if you're not taking notes today, woo! We're talking about the breakdown of the church. And how do we get here? And our ministerial panel is doing a fantastic job on just relaying and expounding on the points that's on this list. Okay? No church discipline. Oh my goodness! And I'll start. I remember when I first got the ministry here, and you know, God told me to start, and I started noticing that I wasn't getting the church hats, the tambourine players, you know, those who knew how to pray, those ones who were speaking in them tongues and all of that kind of stuff. I got people who were brand new to church, period, that they had never been to church at all, or either they had been once or twice and had been turned away or turned off. I had those individuals who didn't even believe in God, even a little bit. You know, they weren't interested in it because what had been, you know, relayed to them was nothing but a turn off. The church was all about money. So, you know, when they started coming, they were faithful in coming. Oh, they came. They came every Sabbath. But boy, was it hell. Because I had to stop them from talk. Every time we had a little pause in the service, they were chatting and talking and laughing and playing. And, you know, they didn't, you know, you had to teach them about tithing from scratch. You had to teach them how to trust God from scratch. Everything was brand new to them. And they had no church discipline because They had never been. They had never been around it. Their parents hadn't been around it. And that was much different than us, because even those of us on in my generation who hadn't been, they still knew certain, you know, things because their parents or grandma or auntie or uncle, you know, grandparents would, you know, would have filtered some of that into them. So they're saying that part of the breakdown is that there's no church discipline. And I definitely agree with that one. Come on, Minister AJ.
Absolutely. And I think overall, you know, because we, like Pastor Dominguez said, we are the church. And we've got to spend more time feeding ourselves than filling up the building. You know, we great at filling up the building and looking like we're doing the work of God, you know, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, we've got to get to the place where we are filling ourselves up. You know, that way we know how to act right. We know protocol. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have a problem obeying leadership. And like I said, you know, my thing is work on you during the week. Why don't you find out your area, read up on it, so that way your ground, which is your heart, can now get the word of God. And now, you know, you're not kicking up against leadership and what the pastor's saying. Because why? My ground is clear. My ground is ready to receive. I've worked on me. So I don't have to be offended while the pastor's talking now, because I've already worked on me.
Good stuff. Come on, Pastor D. You know, there's not enough church discipline going on.
Okay, there's a reason that we call new believers babes in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason we call them babes, because they are. They're pretty much spiritual children.
Right.
And as the leadership, you know, we are basically spiritual parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the head goes, the body follows. So if the church is lacking discipline, then that means your leadership is lacking discipline in a certain area more. You know, and I mean, one of the requirements in being a minister, being in leadership, is to run. If you don't know how to run your own home, you cannot run a church. So if the church is lacking discipline, I want to see what your home look like.
Ooh, that's a challenge right there, Pastor D. That's a challenge right there.
I'm just not fired.
No, and you're right. You're right.
I'm a parent. I'm a husband and a father. And these are, that's my first ministry. My first ministry is my home. And if my first ministry is not lined up, how can I allow my ministry? How can I expect that to be lined up? How can I expect those people
Absolutely.
To be disciplined if my own household doesn't have discipline? If my wife don't respect me, how can I expect the church to respect me? If my sons and daughters are not listening to daddy, how can I expect my spiritual sons and daughters to follow my instructions?
Absolutely.
If your church is messed up, your house is messed up. So you got to get that thing lined up first. Everybody's so busy and so anxious for the title. Everybody want to jump in the ministry. I'm a minister. I'm a pastor. I'm an apostle. I'm an event. And everybody want that church. Everybody want to get that 501c. You don't understand. When you are a minister, when you are a pastor, and if you are in ministry and you have people who are under you, you have subordinates. You have people who are under you, people that respect you and looking up to you. You're supposed to train these people. You're equipping these people as a father equips his own children.
Absolutely.
We're not taking it seriously enough. Like I said, too many people are approaching the ministry like it's another job, and it's far from it.
Love it. I love it. I love it. And I agree with you so much, because that's what the hell, that's where the hell came from. Because now you're talking about a group of people who didn't have any respect for their parents. Most of them only had a one parent home. And, you know, in my home, you know, I was a single parent and I rule the roost. I didn't play with my kids. And I would tell, even to now, I say to them, I'm not going to tell you anything that I wouldn't tell my own. Exactly what I would tell my own, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And as young people and raising young people, you know, just it was just second nature to me. And, you know, I was bossy to some and, you know, ruley to some and overpowering and overbearing to some. And it was because they didn't have that coming up. So now I'm not only pastor, but I'm also mother. So, Pastor D, you hit the nail on the head. You know, you got to make sure that you understand what this leadership thing is about. Because, you know, you're not just going to sit around and let everybody, you know, do what they want to do. You can't get comfortable and just say, oh, you know, well, they're new. They don't understand. You know, they'll grow out of it, which is what a lot of parents do. And yep. Like you said, that's why the household is in such chaos, because when it gets too far, and now when they were 3 and 5 and 7 and you didn't do anything about it, now they're 13, 15, and 17, and you're trying to figure out what went wrong, why they don't listen, why they're not paying attention, why they disrespectful. Just like you said, the church, it says it very clearly, you cannot rule God's house if you cannot rule your home. So it's a big challenge for us here as leaders to make sure we got that home thing taken care of. Very good. Very good. All right, Minister AJ, I know you're getting ready to take this one off. They say that the church is hypocritical. Ooh, there's a hypocritical spirit in the church. That's the breakdown.
Oh, yeah, they definitely say that, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier. We're so quick to expose one another, and I think we have to stop that. We've got, you know, it's sad if I don't even go to church, you know, on that particular Sunday or Saturday, and I got all the news, you know, of what happened in church, and church has only ended a half an hour ago. We got to stop. We got to stop exposing each other, talking about one another. You know, and, you know, the real power is in our unity of us linking up together in spiritual things. One can chase 1,000, but, you know, two can chase 10,000. So we got to stop and then stop exposing everything. If you know you're not ready to be in the front, just be honest. But your Facebook page shouldn't be, you know, you la-la in the club and you missionary London in church. Come on now. Mm. You know, Listen, some stuff we're putting out there, and we don't have to expose everything. You know, everything does not have to be exposed. So, yeah, so we got to do better with that. You know, we want to be cool and, you know, with the world and, you know, and then be spiritual at the same time. It don't work like that. You know, if you are a friend to the world, you are an enemy to God. So stop it.
Amen. 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 All right. Come on, Pastor D. It's too much hypocritical behavior and spirit in the church.
The Bible teaches us to not let our goods be spoken evil of. Like Mr. AJ said, we're too busy trying to be with the in crowd. A lot of our leadership is trying to be cool and trying to be like the new pastor. You see, you had T.D. Jakes wearing skinny jeans, and he looking like somebody's pimp uncle or something like that, you know? Everybody's sitting up here, and don't get me wrong, I love and respect, you know, T.D. Jakes. I love and respect people. Apostle Paul told us to be all things to all people. So I understand what Bishop Jakes was doing. But I was brought up in a ministry where there were certain asks, you can only get in so much. If you allow too many people into the inner circle. You, like you said, you expose them too much to some of the wrong people. They get the wrong ideas. You know, they feel a lot of times when you do or say certain things, you have to understand you're always under somebody's microscope. Somebody is watching you at all times. Somebody is going to say, see, do what you do. They might not, and it could be that person that never says nothing. It could be that person that you never see, but they watching on Facebook. They watching you on social media. They watching you at your job. They watching, and they're not watching you for because they're interested in you. They're watching the God that's in you. Okay, if this Jesus thing is real, if God is really real, and this person's supposed to be a man, a woman, a God, they are supposed to, the world has a different, I mean, the world has an idea of what a man, a woman, a God looks like. You know, although a lot of times it could be twisted. So when they see, okay, Pastor so-and-so acted a certain way, being a certain way, he trying to be too familiar. You can't allow people to get too familiar. I don't allow my kids to get too familiar. You know, I tell my kids all the time, I'm your father, I'm not your friend. And that's the mind state that we need to get back to. I am your spiritual father. I am your spiritual leader. I am not really your friend. I'm here to help equip you. I can't allow you to get too familiar with me where you start believing that it gives you a certain license to do certain things. That's not how we should be running this situation. No. There is a everything is done in decency and in order, and that's where I think the church has gotten far away from that, and that's where the critical spirit starts coming in, you know, that mind state where people feel like they have a license to do and act in certain ways, you know, but we have to keep things holy. We forget that God is holy. Yes, God is love, but God is still holy.
All righty. Let's talk about fear of confrontation. And I'm going to merge that with another one they have here. So let's say fear of confronting the church bullies. Oh, come on, Minister AJ. Boy, I mean, have they not laid out some good ones here today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. The crazy thing is, I believe sometimes we forget enough first to fear God. And so therefore we don't even know how to deal with the bully. The fear of the Lord is the beginning or the instruction of wisdom. You know, we in the church where we lack, we don't know how to navigate with people. We don't know how to approach them, you know, and we got to spend more time with God. David, you know, even when he came up against Goliath, what did he say? Who is this uncircumcised Philistines? He didn't say to just defile, you know, us. He said to defile the living armies of God. David went through a process with God. You know, he spent time with God. And the problem in the church is we don't know how to do the dirty work first. So God doesn't put nothing inside of us to even fight. David was little old sheep boy, you know, wasn't even considered by his own father to be king. But that was process. In the church, we want the position, but we don't want the process. The process is what gives you the fuel and the power and the faith to come up against the enemy. When we go through one thing on one level, it's supposed to produce such a faith level in us that no matter what the level or the giant looks like, we're able to conquer, knowing that we got God on our side, and all these things, we are more than a conqueror. So we don't have no fight in us because we abort the process.
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Come on, Pastor D. You're talking about, you know, that fear of confronting the church bullies.
Well, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. but a power love in a child mind. One of the first things that came out of that was power. You, God has given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing by no means shall harm you. So these are the things that I think about. I really don't understand a person who can not feel, when I think about Jesus and I think about God, and I think about the strength that they give me. You know, I think about that authority that I have. So when it comes to confrontations and things of that nature, I have a difficult time understanding a person who don't know how to, who will not confront a situation within the church. I don't understand how you not going to do that, because God has given me that power to come in front of you in the first place. I really have a hard time with understanding someone who allows a person to bully them, even in the church, whether it be the pastor himself or whether it be one of the parishioners. I don't understand how you're going to sit up here and try to bully me into anything. I'm still trying to understand that situation. I really don't understand how you want to let somebody hurt you spiritually or physically. I don't understand that. I don't understand that, because God has already given me, and I'm one of those people, man. Speaking from, I'm just talking about Dominguez, man. Right? Dominguez.
Speaking of phone, Pastor D. Speaking of phone.
Oh, sorry. Dominguez is a confrontational person. So when it comes to Dominguez, let me talk to you for a second. Let me pull you to the side. I'll pull the boss to the side. I'll pull anybody to the side and say, hey, listen, let's talk this thing through. You know, back in the day, I probably would have led with my hands, but now I try to lead with my heart. Let's talk this thing through now. Let's figure out where we went wrong with this situation. I don't understand that mindset. I don't understand that. I can't, for some reason. I really can't. I'm that guy who, if a situation comes about, I'm going to, hey, you shouldn't do that. You know, there was a situation a couple of weeks ago. I'm at the Department of Revenue, and there was an elderly man sitting up there, and he had an accident on himself. He pooped on himself, right? But he was still trying to handle his business. And so out of his shorts, you could see the man was sick. There was a guy sitting up there, a young man, the elderly man was a white guy, and the young person who was sitting up here dogging this man, talking about him and making jokes about him in the whole 9 yards, was a young black man. I was like, hold on, man, can't you see the man is sick? What you're doing is wrong, man. You can't. I don't understand how people, and out of those 20, 30 people that were sitting in line with me, I was the only one who said, so I didn't understand why nobody else didn't say nothing. If you see me going through something, if you see somebody else dealing with something, and you see somebody wrong, help them. I don't understand why you don't want to help, not wanting to get involved, not wanting to confront the situation. I don't understand that. It's hard for Dominguez to understand that.
Okay. All righty. We got a few more minutes for a couple. You know what? Let me give you an opportunity to speak on that, Minister AJ, what Pastor D just got finished saying.
To speak on... what Pastor Dominguez was saying?
Mm-hmm. His lack of understanding how.
Yeah, it's true, you know. In the church, we'd rather sit back. And for most of us, we'd rather be a part of the in crowd. Even though we don't know that more people are going to be lost than to be found. So you might as well just go against the odds now, you know. And be a part of, you know, those who are going to be a part of that remnant. You know, stop allowing people in the church to be bullied, even in the church. It's crazy. We got to be able to confront people, but we got to have, you know, power also with it. Like he said, you know, power to tread upon serpents. And I think a lot of times, because we don't know our power, the power that we possess in God and having Christ with us, we're timid, we're shy, we're fearful. When, you know, like he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So it's in God. You have real power, but it's in God. So the more you access God, the more power you have. But outside of God, you're going to rely, or you'll focus on your insecurities. It's me, it's I, or I cannot, like Moses. You know, I can't speak, I'm et cetera. If God's called you to do something, he's going to equip you with everything that you need across the board, whether that is to confront, to have power to preach or teach. He's gonna equip you. He's not going to leave you lacking in no area.
Okay. It was just such a strong statement that Pastor D was saying. Just wanted to, you know, give you an opportunity to speak. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
They say that one of the breakdowns is the, it's termed actions cloaked in darkness. What do you think, Minister AJ?
Actions closed in darkness? Absolutely. You know my thing I say all the time, and I'm going to keep saying it until we got it. You know, it's what you do during the week. It's what you do during the week. Think about it. You know, the Bible says if you pray in secrecy, God will reward you openly. So now, if we've been in the church 6 or 7 years and there's no fruits of reward, but we the same members talking about why she blessed, why she got a car, why she got this, maybe it's because what you're doing in the dark ain't what you're supposed to be doing.
Wow.
Because if you do the right, if you do right in secrecy, God's going to reward you openly. But if your tree is lacking every year, yeah, something is wrong with what you're doing in dark. And you think you're getting by, but you're not getting by because there's no fruit of your labor. And so you might be the tree that God's getting ready to pluck.
Uh-oh. Wow. Pastor D, you know, your actions that's kind of shielded in darkness.
Behind closed doors, huh? I think that what you do in the dark will soon come to light. I think Mr. AJ hit the nail on the head when he said that it's what you do during the week. You know, What is your Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not just a religion or some spiritual fallacy. It is a lifestyle. You know, this is a walk. You know, you're supposed to work that thing out with fear and trembling. You know, you're not sitting up here just on Monday. It's Monday through Saturday. You have one life, and then come Sunday, you have a different life. That's not how it goes. That's not how it works. Sunday through Sunday, you are who you are. You are whose you are. You know, you're still a child of Christ. I understand we have issues. Everybody got issues. Nobody has arrived yet. You know, nobody has. You know. But as long as you're steady working those things out, I think God is okay with working that thing out. You're going through. But if you are out here in darkness willingly, then you are far from God. You're going to be in that long line that's heading in the other direction. You about to bust your head wide open. So but once again, we have to get back to the other statement that you made about the hypocrisy in the church. You know, that goes back to that, man. It's what you do during the week. You have to work. You have to live the life of a believer.
It's a whole lifestyle.
All righty. Okay, we got a couple more. Gentlemen, we got a couple of more. Self-serving church members. The self-serving church members. Come on, Minister AJ. We coming down.
Self-serving church members. You got people who will even, they'll serve the pastor quicker than they'll serve God. You know, they don't really have a, you know, they're doing it to be seen. You know, if it's not going to bring gratitude, then guess what? You know, or bring praises to them, they're not going to do it. And going back to the powerless people, where they do stuff in the church, they got the work of the church, but they don't have the spirit that the church should have. You know, if it's not about singing their praises, that's why you can, if a visiting church is coming, you can always get somebody to do something. These are the people who pop up when the visiting churches come up. Now you're an usher. Now you're a deacon. Now you're a musician. But we can't get you to do nothing all year long. But the minute, it's showtime for some people. You know, self-serving. If it's not bringing self, that these are the ones who hold the service up. Speaking in tongues that nobody can interpret, you know, doing stuff, walking across the floor. You got to do something to be seen, you know. Sit down. And the only thing it's doing is edifying you. You know, let the greatest among you be the servant. But if you're the servant, somebody else should be. You should be serving someone else, you know, not just yourself, you know. In Jesus' name.
All right, Pastor D, we're talking about those self seeking church members that's holding up the progress of the church.
Everybody got that insecure family member who tries to make every situation about them. You know, you might have just lost your mom or your dad or your brother or sister, but then they turn around and make it all about what they didn't lose or what they going through or what they didn't deal with. Man, sit your butt down. Those are people you got to sit down for a minute, you know? Sit down, please. I understand what you're trying to do. I appreciate you. Thank you. God bless you. Won't you have a seat for now? We got it from here. You know, that's where the discipline comes in at. You know, God disciplines those that he loves. We'll take care of this. You go ahead and sit down. Like Minister said, you ain't did nothing all year, and now you want to do this when we have, bishops here coming from all nations and this, that, and the other. No. We'll take it from here. You sit down, and we'll talk about this later. You know, that's where, you know, discipleship comes in. We have to make sure that we are educating our people, you know, and let them know, okay, I understand what you're trying to. I got a child right now, my son. He wants to be seen always. So he's always singing. He's always dancing and all that good stuff. Sometimes I got to say, hey, son, now's not the time for that. And that's what we got to do. So, hey, excuse me, but now is not the time for that. You know, even if you sit up there and you call yourself in the Holy Spirit and you jumping around and you shouting and all that good stuff, everybody can see, like on, what was that movie? Where he said, get up, Grandma, where she called herself laid out of the spirit, fighting to the face. Get up, Grandma. You can see them fronting. You can tell, you know, real recognize real. You can see them fronting. There was a song a long time ago that said, ain't no future in your fronting. There's no future in what you're doing right now. God is not pleased with your works because your heart's not in the right place. Where's the motive behind what you're doing? What is the motive behind it? And that's what we really do. What's your real motive? You have an ulterior motive here, and it's not pleasing to God. Right?
Oh, you gentlemen have done a fantastic job. Sorry we had to lose Pastor Charlene, but God is blessing us. God has truly blessed us today. As we come down, I'm going to ask each of you to give your closing today, just on an overall statement. You know, let me see how I want you to say this. We're talking about the lack of respect for the church, and you started off like that. Pastor D, we're going to give you an opportunity to close first. And what do you want to say in your closing about the lack of respect for the church?
Actually, if it's okay with you guys, I would like to take this opportunity to pray for the sister who had to get off because she was having some kind of coughing attacks, if that's okay.
Actually, we're gonna pray for her in a minute. I'm going to do my prayer, my daily prayer. So we will include that. We'll definitely include that. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
So as soon as you finish, then we'll do the prayer. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. But the question you had was again, say it again.
How are we closing? What's your closing when you talk about the lack of respect for the church?
I think that we have to get back to, we're living in some dark times. So it's about the love that we have to continue to show to one another. I think once we start really loving one another, then that's when the respect, we're going to get the respect that the church deserves. The Bible says we know them by their love for one another. That's where it starts at. You know, if the world sees us not having no love and respect for one another, then they're not going to have any love and respect for one another. So that's where we have to start. We have to start with the love we need to show one another.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pastor D. Thank you so much. Make sure you hold on for everything. Don't go anywhere. Thank you so much.
No.
Minister AJ, how are we closing this down today? You have the final word on the lack of respect for the church.
Yeah, let's the church itself, let it we have to allow it to begin with us. Let's get back to respecting one another. Let's check on our brothers. Let's check on our sisters during the week. Let's pull our brothers up. Let's stop having so many levels in the church where the ministers and the elders, they got all the knowledge. But listen, get the person in the kitchen who's cooking chicken. Let's make the church anointed across the board. Let's make the church loving across the board. You know, sometimes the person just need a little tap on the back and say, listen, you can do it. You know, you want to study with me. You know, let's pull each other up because we're more powerful together than we are apart. And when people see us together in power, it's going to, you know, dispel a lot of things that we talked about today, the hypocritical spirit. Let's get together and stop twisting our face up at one another. You can learn something from the next person. You know, I'll teach you the Bible while you teach me how to fry this chicken. Let's do it together.
Amen. Minister AJ, Pastor D, and Pastor Charlene, thank you so very much for helping the listeners who are either parishioners or the leaders understand what the lack of respect is doing to the church. We end up being our own enemies. So we give God thanks for you, and we pray that you have a blessed day. Like I said, Pastor D, please don't go so you can at least be a part of the, you can be a hearer of the prayer, which we do today. All righty. So thank you so much,
yes,
both of you, all three of you, but Pastor Sean was muted. So thank you. Have a blessed day. Hold on. All righty. We've come to the part of the morning where we hold hands and hold hearts, and we have definitely received so much today that we need to pray for. And it's the highlight of our mornings. Dear Heavenly Father, we come together. We come to you, God, and we hold hands and we hold hearts as we say thank you. Thank you because you've been a magnificent God through everything, God. Regardless of what's going on in our lives. You have just continuously awakened us each and every morning to give us another opportunity to get it right, to give us another opportunity to praise you, to give you another opportunity to worship you, to give another opportunity for us to disciple for you, God. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for its due time with Pastor Steph. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just helping us to get our day started. This broadcast could be at any time of the day, but we got this first thing in the morning to help navigate our day. Then we don't get halfway through the day and now we have to try to switch up, but we got your word, your direction first thing before we could even really get our day started. So we say thank you. Lord, we're going to give you thanks because Pastor D so graciously accepted your invitation to come on today and be a part of this broadcast. And we thank you, God, for him being ready, willing, and able. God, because a lot of the things we want to do, we're not able to do. But God, an hour or two behind us. You know, we have a blessing that he would even be willing to get up just that little extra early to share this time, to just expound on the wisdom, knowledge that you've given him, God. And we just ask you to bless his life, bless his fatherhood, bless his position as a husband and a leader over his home, God, as he leads your people on a regular basis. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to endow him with so much more than he would ever, ever imagine that he would have. And we're just grateful to have him as a part of the family, dear God, that he would even share this moment with us to move your people along, to give understanding to things that people don't have a clue about, things that we may not have even seen, God. He just filled in the gap today. So we say thank you, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we lift up Pastor Charlene to you, dear Heavenly Father, who has such a heavy heart to be a part of this broadcast, dear Heavenly Father, the part of this ministry that she's even willing to try when she knows it's difficult, God, and we ask you to bless her heart and her efforts, dear Heavenly Father. Bless the things that she wanted to say, dear God. We pray that as she was a listener today, that she was just as blessed as being someone who's delivering the message every Tuesday. And Lord, we're just asking you to touch upon our body from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, God, to the tips of our finger. And we're asking you, God, to just wash away any impurities that are in her body. Anything that is not in you, of you, or about you, God, we ask you to just wipe away. And Lord, we just ask you that as she is silenced, that she now meditate even more on the things that you have given her, that she would double her hearing, that she would listen a little more intently during this time when she is not speaking. Lord, we're asking that in her silence, that she understands you just a little bit more, that you are not aware that her voice was not working today and would not work even though she tried. So whatever it is that you're trying to get to her in this silent moment, God, we ask you to just humble her, that she would decrease even more so that you could increase even more. We ask you to bless her husband, dear Heavenly Father, as he's there helping her through this time when she's ill and has to go back and forth to doctors and, you know, where she may be a little more concerned than other times, God, that he would just help her to be calm, that you would speak a word into his life, that even when he didn't know what to say, you would give him the words, God, that he would help her settle and focus on you. And just letting you do your job, that the two of them can walk together as one right now during this hard-pressed time when our health is not the best, but it's not over. Hallelujah, it's not over until you say it is. And we give you the thanks to Heavenly Father in advance for what you're doing. And, Lord, we're going to thank you for what you did do today, even having her apart, that she still could listen. Lord, we're going to lift up Minister AJ to you today, God, and we're going to thank you. Thank you for all that you have endowed him with, that he continues to push through this ministry each and every week. Lord, he started with us 52 weeks ago and is the one who, he's one who's on this broadcast up to four times in 1 week. You've got a word for him to give your people, because we don't get that level of exposure by accident. So we're going to thank you, God, for everything you give him every day, that you prepare him for the next day. So whether he understands or realizes he's getting prepared for the next time he is to minister, God, we recognize it, and we give you the thanks, because we are recipients of your special word through him, God. We ask you, God, to be with Pastor Ed and his family as they are all working on Elijah's health and moving him along and getting him settled. We ask you to bless them, God, as we've missed him these past few weeks. But we know that he's not away from you. And we know that he's taking care of his home. He's got to take care of his home before he takes care of anything else. So we just ask you to just be with them each and every day. Strengthen that family unit each and every day. Strengthen Pastor Ed's health, as well as his children and his wife's health, so that he can get about your business and be in your vineyard. We ask you to be with each and every body here today, whether they are a regular listener, whether they're a regular due time crew member, it doesn't matter. We ask you to just be with each and every one of them, God. Touch upon everybody, that they would have walked away from today's broadcast just 9 steps higher, 9 steps deeper, according to your word. So we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all that you continuously give us and invest in us, and how you continue to pay attention to our needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ah, what a day, what a day, what a day. Giving God thanks for everything he's given to us today. Oh, we had a lot to say about the lack of respect for the church. And my prayer is that you would find your way in there. Find something that you can call out, that you can apply to your own life, that you could say, hey, you know, that's me. I mean, we gave, what, up to 12 different points. Yeah, we gave about 12 different points today about how the church lacks respect for, how we lack respect for the church, I'm sorry. And my prayer is that, hey, you know, you would have sat and listened and received the word today and be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I need to improve on that. I didn't intend for that to be me. You know, I have a girlfriend, and one of the things she's always talking about are the church bullies. And the board is the biggest bully of the church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, they have so much, quote-unquote, power, as Pastor D was saying. But, you know, at the end of the day, they don't really have the power. They're the powerless, like Minister AJ said. You know, everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody's having their temper tantrums. Everybody's, you know, jumping up and down. Everybody's, you know, saying and doing what they want. When I tell you, church bullies are the worst. They are horrific. I have seen them turn churches all upside down. They're making a bunch of noise for nothing. And yet at the end of the day, the church does not make the progress. The church does not reach the lives. The church does not evangelize or disciple properly, because most times it's spending on silencing you, getting around the mess that you've made, cleaning up the mess that you've made, or they've made, if that's not you. But, and they don't serve but nothing but the enemy. But under the guise of, I'm doing what's most important, you know, for the church. No, you're not. We're talking about how the church is lacking. And when we talk about, when we look at this world, parts of this world is soaring past God's church. It takes, let me tell you something, the church takes a second seat to this world all the time. When you talk about, you know, we've been tapping into all of these Zoom meetings and things like that, and it seems like there's not a whole lot put into making this Zoom presentation all that it needs to be. And I, for one, am so tired of hearing these sad and sorry singers. I'm sorry, y'all. Get your feelings hurt or not, I'm telling you. You can't give me no bountiful word, and yet I got to hear this piercing, screeching singing. The same way you take time to pull out all these great and phenomenal speakers, you need to be doing the same for the singers. Because, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. You wouldn't put up somebody who just started in the church to speak for your, you know, whether it's your Bible study or your revival or, you know, your whatever you got going on, your last words of Jesus or whatever you got going on. You're not going to put just anybody up there, but you'd put just anybody up in our faces to hear this horrific singing and under the guise of, you know, well, so-and-so, you know, just praising the Lord. Well, listen, those praises need to be at the highest level. And I would rather you play a song from a CD than for you to give us this horrific singing. That's a lack of respect for the church. But my point is, let's make whatever we do the best. Let's give God our best. And that way, the lack of the respect for the church will be very, very minimal. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank Pastor D for rolling on in, and Pastor Charlene and Minister for helping me get the job done today. I want to thank you for listening and for hanging out with us today. Let me say to you, accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Wow Wednesday. I love you.